Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Game Pass Grab Bag, your weekly podcast reviewing games from the Game Pass collection, bringing you three unique perspectives and varying skill range. We are the Guardians of the Galaxy that you have at home. I am Stair Lord of this episode. With me are Ratchet Raccoon, Keith.
Hello.
And of course with us are Gonorrhea, Liz.
Nope.
You proved this.
Nope.
You proved this intro.
Hey, guys.
This week was a listener pick. We played Guardians of the Galaxy, which was recommended from our listener, Jack. So thank you so much for recommending we play this. Guardians of the Galaxy is brought to you by Eidos Montreal, and it is a third-person action-adventure game where you are taking control of Star-Lord, who is the leader of a ragtag bunch of group of misfits who are going around trying to be heroes for hire and essentially fail miserably, but they do it as a team. So going around... Liz, was this a game or a pass for you?
For me, it's a game, but it did sometimes feel like a movie at times, which I'm not a movie person. I find a movie I like and I watch it like 1,000 times. And so for me, it was, but the gameplay definitely made up for it. And I did really enjoy it. And I love the characters.
So this one surprised me, actually. And... it's actually a definite game.
Wow, that surprises me.
It's a lot of story. And so many times movie video games just fall so flat. But there's something about this that I've really enjoyed. And we'll talk more about it. Towards the end, the gameplay got a little bit monotonous. But outside of that, I had fun playing it, watching it, storying it, and all of the things. I really liked this game.
Well, I wouldn't call it a movie video game. It's more of a comic book video game.
Okay, I'll give you that. But either way, sometimes these types of games can sort of fail miserably.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And it didn't. So
the characters are just like the characters in the movie. The way that they talk, the...
well, because the characters in the movie are the way the characters are in the comic.
But that's
book
what
too.
I mean. Like, yeah. It is like a movie video game.
Yeah,
I mean the way it plays a little bit. Yeah, yeah. I guess, but I mean, it obviously Guardians of the Galaxy started as a comic before it started as a movie.
Description though, because it is no, but I mean, the exact way that they talk and stuff, it's just like
because how it is in the comic.
And the movie, I don't think
but
it's
the comic came first.
It can be both.
I guess. Okay. Sure. For the sake of this argument. I think I'm with you, Keith. I'm going to give this a definite game. It definitely has its flaws, but yeah, I was surprised by this. Like, when this first came out, I heard a lot of people talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, how great it is. But anytime I saw footage of it, I'm just like, this looks just very generic. And like, nothing about it looked that interesting. But then I started playing it, and I'm like, this is really cool. I am digging this game. And for me, it's not too difficult, but... yeah, and I agree. I think the combat got a little stale. So for me, also the playtime is perfect. Right at the end, when the game was finishing up, I was pretty good. I was like, I'm getting sick of this combat a little bit, but I really enjoyed the story, and I thought it was just, it's nicely paced. Oh, and also before we start, I guess it would be also a decent idea to kind of go around and how much you guys know of Guardians of the Galaxy. Liz, what is your...
Knowledge
of Guardians of the Galaxy.
So I haven't read the comics. I do like comics, but I haven't read that one. For me, just in general, like, I don't watch a lot of superhero movies and shows. I just kind of have like a select few of my favorites.
You've watched like what, like four Marvel movies, if even that?
I don't even know which characters are Marvel and which are in DC. Like, is that DC is right?
Yes, yeah, correct. Yes.
But for me, like, one of my biggest things I don't like about like superhero stuff is you always have like superheroes that are like, I can't kill, even though I'm watching you kill hundreds. It's just not right. And it's like, oh yeah, just letting people get murdered is also right.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy don't have an issue with that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's like one of the reasons why I like it. And I like that the characters are actually really funny and interact well with each other. So this is like one of the few movies and stuff that I actually really like. And it's the same with like the video game. Although I will say that Rocket in this I thought was like extra heartless sometimes. Yeah. Even compared to the movie. Like some of the things that he said, I'm just like, dude, Like, I don't know. It kind of bothered me. But yeah, so I just know stuff from the movies. But yeah.
Which you saw both of them, right?
I did, and I didn't.
Do you remember them? Oh,
there was something sad in the second one. I don't even want to. I don't like feeling things, and I was very upset that Andrew had me watch that movie. I had feelings, and I didn't appreciate it.
What about you, Keith?
So two summers ago, I went through and I watched and caught up really just about everything in the Marvel series to that point.
Which is surprising. You were always so proud that you never saw any Star Wars or any Marvel. I remember that was always your claim to fame.
And then, no, I was never that way with Marvel because I had seen the Iron Man movies back when they came out, like in theaters and stuff. So I had seen some of the Marvel movies throughout, but I had never sat down and really watched all of them. So I got caught up, and so that included both of the Guardians movies. And I think honestly, the Guardians movies are probably some of my favorites in the entire universe, I guess.
Yeah, same here.
I think, like, listen, there's something about the characters that they're just more human and more realistic, like relatable. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. So, plus they're just funny. You kind of always are going to hook me with humor, and they tend to be the funniest of all of them. So, yeah, I'm very well versed in the characters and stuff. I think some of the side characters that were in there, maybe throughout the game, I might not have known as well, because they might have been from like comic books or whatever. But yeah, the main characters, yeah.
So I'm also like you guys. I've seen both the Guardians movies, and yeah, they're my favorite Marvel movies. I think they're a ton of fun. So that's another reason why I was excited for this. And as far as my comic book knowledge goes, I haven't read a ton of their stuff, but I mean, I know quite a bit of the extended universe. I've dabbled quite a bit in comics, especially during my earlier years of college. I had a friend who was well obsessed with comics, and he helped me with my knowledge with it. But yeah, so I was able to pick up quite a bit of references. This game is loaded with references. So if you are huge into comics, absolutely play this game, because you will find so many Easter eggs. But getting into the story, as I said, you are playing Star-Lord, who is the leader of the Guardians of the Galaxy, or Gardeners of the Galaxy, as they actually are called in the game, because Groot is the one who filled out the paperwork. And you are trying to be heroes for hire, essentially mercenaries, trying to go around the galaxy and trying to find jobs. But you guys are really bad at it, and you end up just more conning people than actually helping people. And then you inadvertently kind of cause a cataclysmic event and help a church kind of take form that starts to brainwash people. So you take it upon yourselves to try to save the galaxy.
I didn't get all of that when I was playing, but it's nice to know.
How did you not get that? This game, I thought, would, like, explain things so well. No,
it did. I mean, the conning part.
Yeah.
But I also think that I played I didn't finish the game, but I started it a while ago, and I don't really have a good memory, and maybe that's it.
A while ago? That was, like, 5 days.
On, like, the main...
That was, like, 5 days ago.
I started it, like, yesterday, so I don't really remember it.
But I feel like that isn't the biggest part of the story. It's more about the woman that he used to date. And he's trying to help
It's
her.
A pretty significant.
That's kind of like the antagonist in the entire game.
Wait,
it's,
who?
It's the reason. The brainwashing.
No. Stuff. She's talking about Lady Hellbender.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but
I like that both of you guys are telling me what I'm talking about, and neither of you are correct, but that's okay.
So what are you talking about? Because that's what I thought you were talking about.
Like, I feel like what you described it as, like, that's like the main part of it. And for me, like, I feel like the last, like, couple of chapters have all been about, like, what's her name? Carell.
Carell, yeah.
And the daughter and stuff. Yeah. So that's Well,
but I mean, without, I don't want to give away any spoilers or anything, but I mean, they're kind of influential to why the whole cataclysmic event is also happening, and they're all tied into it. So they're very important when it comes to the storyline, but I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's all about the brainwashing stuff.
Yeah, that's obviously the big galactic endangerment event that's going on, is the brainwashing stuff.
But and I don't know about from the comic series, but at least from the movies, that's kind of what they are. Is they're heroes, but they're not good heroes. They're kind of always conning people.
I don't know. Because they're always poor. They're always struggling. Yeah.
Which I think is probably one of my favorite things about the entire game, is you set out about trying to get money. You get money one time in the game.
Yeah.
And then never again. It's never another collectible.
And you also do it in the dumbest way possible. Like, I knew when they were planning it, I was like, this is a bad idea.
I know. But that's also the whole shtick of it, which is also hilarious. But I love the story of this game. To me, this was what really hooked me. Because have you guys played any of the Telltale games? I know, Liz, you haven't. But have you, Keith?
No.
So this game, the story is really cool because it's very reminiscent of the Telltale games. Because, you know, we always talk about this where a game kind of fakes you actually making choices. But the choices you make in this game actually are quite significant and have a good amount of impact.
We had different gameplay because of that.
Yeah. And so that's one thing I love about it. And anyone who's played a Telltale game, you know, depending choices you'll make, it'll even say in the corner, like, so-and-so will remember that you defended them, or so-and-so is mad at you that you did this choice. And it will actually end up playing out a little bit more later on when you play the game. It's nothing too drastic. It's not going to, like, oh, your game's going to end early, or, you know, here's a whole extra level. But there is quite significant gameplay elements. So case in point, when we're doing the con event, me and Liz picked different person as to who we're trying to sell. And my mission ended up becoming a stealth mission, while Liz's was just a run and gun, destroy everyone. So it was pretty significant. But I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, your path will still lead to the same destination. But it was just, it's really cool.
There's one scene in particular that you're hoping that I failed because you wanted to know what happened, and I didn't.
No.
But nice.
I also think story-wise, I feel like the three main characters that everyone always loves is Drax, Groot, and Rocket. I mean, Groot is the cutest character, and I personally feel like in all the superhero movies, I love Groot. And like the relationship between like Groot and Rocket too. And what I was saying earlier with like, they talk just like in the movie. Like the voice actor, like I told Andrew at the beginning that like, I was kind of disappointed because I was so used to the actors in the movie that you hear their voices. And at first I thought it was monotone, but then I was like, oh no, they're actually doing a really good job. But like Drax speaks like Drax. That's why I was just like, it felt like the movie so much because of the way that they spoke, like their actual like voices, I feel like they tried to imitate so well.
Yeah, I thought it was a little jarring at first too. Like, obviously, since we've seen the movies, I'm so associated with those actors, with those characters. And in the game, they're very much not the actors like that are portrayed in the movie. So it's a little jarring at first to be like, oh, this is what Star-Lord looks like. This is what Gamora looks like. But I actually quickly forgot and just, I absolutely love the character designs and that voice acting, like you said, Liz.
But that's why I'm so interested in the comics, because I wonder how different it is from the movie and the game. Because I just feel like the movie and the game are so similar.
So you want me to buy you some?
I love comics.
Oh.
I don't read them a lot, but.
Anniversary present.
When's your anniversary?
I actually know it, do you?
I know. Yeah, I know. I know it.
Even though I have the date wrong in my wedding ring. That's my bad.
Whoopsie.
Actually, Andrew is great with dates. I am terrible.
Yeah, I don't do dates very well.
I'm really bad.
Amber is the organizer in our house of the calendar and all of dates. So, I mean, surprisingly for me, I think this is going to be a huge race. I liked the story. I think overall, there was nothing about it that was like, there was no twists. There was nothing that made it special as a story goes. But the way the dialogue is written, the way the voice acting is done, it's a lot like you're watching Guardians of the Galaxy. So if you're like me and you don't generally like story, but you're also like me and you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, the movies, and like them, you'll enjoy this probably. Because as Liz stated, it many times it's just like watching a movie, because there are some fairly long cutscenes, nothing aggressive, and you can skip through the dialogue or speed the dialogue up, but at the same time, it's entertaining and it's fun. So, I actually enjoyed the story.
Yeah, I know that was starting to become a big gripe with Liz, is that you couldn't skip cutscenes. Some you can, I noticed. Or I think
yeah, if you die, it would just cut to the next like grouping of dialogue.
No, I kept dying at one point because I didn't know what to do, and I had to play through the whole cutscene again. And I was getting really frustrated. And that was like my big hang up. And also with these like big long cutscenes, Sometimes you didn't know if you were supposed to move because it would look the same. You'd still be sitting. I thought that was annoying. Like, just shift the focus
and let me know. Yeah, there was definitely a couple times where I found myself just sitting there for a good 30 seconds. And I was like, oh, I think the game is I need to do this. I need to do a thing now. And so it would take me a second to get into the fact that I was playing the game.
I feel like my biggest complaint story-wise is I'm not like the hugest fan of Star-Lord. Is that his name?
Yep.
That he's like the name that I always like, oh, wait, what is it? Like, I feel like
the Punisher. It's literally on his back that you're seeing the entire game.
I like how nobody calls him Star-Lord.
Why is your name on your back?
Oh, that's true. Everyone calls him like Star Guy or like Lord Rock or something weird.
But I just feel like the Punisher with Groot and Rocket just would be so dynamic.
That's your ultimate
team
up?
Groot. Groot and the Punisher. There's a special place in my heart for the Punisher. Because I think, I think he's a great superhero. He
shoots people.
Because he gets it done.
Watch, like, Groot is, like, the biggest racist, but you never understand what he's saying because all he says is, I am Groot. And you're like, I love him. And he's actually this massive racist.
Rocket's just been shielding him all these years.
But why is it that they can't understand him? Because Star-Lord got the chip that makes that he can understand alien languages, correct? I mean, why can't he understand Groot?
Ah, so you did not find the hidden object. There's a hidden object where you get a translator and it actually goes and talks about that. So Groot is the last of his kind. So he
I
is,
knew that.
So he is a... So his language is essentially dead as well. It's Thalusian, I think is the name of his language. And there's only... Obviously, Rocket has learned it just from hanging out with Groot for so long. But Rocket only said there's like literally two or three translators in the entire galaxy that have that language. So he's just a dying race, and because of that, his language is dead as well.
That's sad.
It is. Yeah. Sad story. All these characters are sad stories.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they're very much a ragtag bunch. That's who the Guardians of the Galaxy are at, you know. Think just in their lore, is they're all just a bunch of kind of like washed up losers. I think it's interesting, and I mean obviously intentional, but yeah, you have like Gamora, who is the son of daughter of Thanos, and then Drax the Destroyer, who killed Thanos, right? Did he kill Thanos?
Yep.
So
yeah.
So yeah, you have this interesting dynamic where they're together, obviously. So they all kind of hate each other because nobody really wants to be there, but they have to because they have nothing else to do because no one else wants them.
This game takes place of like maybe about them being a group, maybe for a few months. So the game starts by explaining, or not really explaining, you kind of pick up to the dialogue that the war just ended and Drax is the one who killed Thanos. So Thanos is out of the picture. But yeah, they ended up kind of forming together after this war. But so there's still a lot of friction. They're still not quite a cohesive team. And I will say one thing with the story that kind of got annoying, which we said at the beginning here. I know you were complaining about it, Liz. But yeah, sometimes Rocket just got a little too annoying. I understand the whole purpose of Rocket is to kind of be the friction of the group. And he very much doesn't trust anyone except for Groot. But there were some moments where it was just like, it just got tiring.
Like Star-Lord was suspecting that the daughter was his. And he was like talking about, she's probably dead. So I felt like that line was just like, really, really uncalled for. And same with like, they're together for a couple months and Drax and Gamora are still like at it. And he's like making rude comments about her and stuff. Like, 3 months of that? I wouldn't tolerate that.
But I will say though, as annoying as some of those elements got, I think it paid off in the end. Like at the end, like it felt so good. Like having these characters grow. Like I actually did feel like the growth of these characters was actually pretty like well written and a lot of fun.
But I agree, but I also felt like they were saying like, you have to prove yourself to me. Like between like, you know, Rocket and Star-Lord and Drax and Gamora, it's like, that's not how you build a friendship. Like, prove yourself to me. Like, get out of here.
But what did you guys think of the actual gameplay elements of the story? Like when you're actually making these choices, did you guys screw up any of these moments that you were kind of like, oh crap?
I didn't like that it was timed, I'll tell you that.
I liked it overall. And I liked, like, as you mentioned, that it actually had impact on the game. It did change the gameplay, not just how the dialogue went. And so I always find that just more intriguing, and it makes me want to pay attention more and like actually like engage with with the story at that point because there's something on the line for it. I know for a fact I screwed up one of them. Rocket was trying to hack something and I couldn't keep someone distracted.
The robot?
Yeah, so...
Gubbins? the robot Gubbins, that one made me laugh.
No, it wasn't that one.
Oh.
It was when you're dealing with someone later in the game.
Oh, God.
So I don't really know how much it changed. Like, he kept talking about, like, oh, I'd know where to go if I got to hack that thing. So maybe it would have been, like, I don't know, less unexpected things happening as we went along. But overall, I did like that aspect. And there was one of them that I actually reloaded because I was like, nope, it was in particular Cosmo. I failed the Cosmo one. I was like, I'm not failing Cosmo. I can't let my boy down. Cosmo is best boy.
I love that. Some of the dialogue in this game, like, straight up actually had me laughing. The humor in this game, it's not happening all the time, but it is great. And wow, this is one of my biggest complaints, because I noticed this at the beginning of, like, I loved the banter in this game, but why the heck did they design the audio to be proximity?
Yes.
That is such a poor choice, and I don't understand how that has not been patched and fixed. So this game has a ton of loot and things to explore, and I love the banter, and I want to hear all of it, and you obviously are, like, interacting with it. But if you're off exploring, there's a lot of times you don't hear what's going on and your character's responding. And I'm like, what? I'm missing dialogue. What's going on? But the game's designed for you to explore and find stuff and to upgrade your weapons. Why would they do proximity chat? That is so annoying.
It also makes it so that sometimes the dialogue goes over other dialogue.
Yes.
Which is very frustrating for me because I'm the type of person that I need to read and watch TV at the same time. And I'm just like, what is going on? I also like thinking about decisions. There was one time in the game where I had to pick, like, I think it was like wires, like which one. And he said not to touch the green part, but one wasn't particularly over the green part. They were just like vertical of each other. So I didn't think it mattered. And it was, I picked the one that was, I guess, more on the green part. It's like, make it, first of all, make it more clear.
No, I think you directly have to hit the green part because I did too.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's because
I had the same thing happen. So I am guessing that it's an intentional fail.
Okay, never mind. I'll stop complaining then.
That's fair.
Because I was like, they were vertical.
Like, this is getting bad. That's something that was intentional. It's awesome.
Well, because it made you do a quick time event.
Yeah.
And there's actually quite a few of those.
Yeah.
And
but they're pretty simple.
I feel like y'all know that I do not like to do quick time
events. I found them very forgiving, though.
Yes, yeah.
Except
especially
for the
during combat, because it's like, oh, you don't get that buff. Yeah. But
there was one I had to do like two or three times that was annoying. That it was like you had to do like a quick cut, like quick time events, and it was like a series of them, because you're like, I don't know, I think you're like hitting a stone, the stone around or whatever, and like each character is hitting it, and then you go and you slide down something, and I kept dying on the slide part. And so I have having to go through those quick time events. But when you talk about it being forgiving, it was the same pattern every time. And they're not overly fast quick time events. So
yeah,
that part, after the first time, I was like, oh, I had it memorized already.
I also wanted to talk a little bit with the dialogue. I thought it was so annoying when sometimes I'd be using my visor to like follow the electrical panels and stuff. And they are so impatient with telling, oh, if only I had a visor, and saying it over and over again, and like saying like rude comments. And like, listen, I just started looking. Like, can you chill? I do not like that. Like, nagging is so rude. And to hear it in a video game, like, if you have a spouse that nags you and you're like, oh, I need to get away from nagging and play video games, this is not the game for you.
I like that that's always one of Liz's big complaints in any game. She's like, I don't like rude characters. I don't like people being rude to me in a video game.
Because they're like talking to you like you're stupid. I'm like, I just started looking. Look,
you're just some dumb
program computer. I might be stupid, but give me the opportunity to try.
Don't you dare be rude to me, computer. You can't even get into a Google account because you can't pass the image test.
I just love Liz is taking these insults personally. Like, I'm trying my best.
Those
video
image
game
tests that have like the tiny little sliver of a street sign. Like, get out of here.
I bet you don't even know what a stoplight is.
So weird. I mean, I personally never got annoyed by those, but I guess I also didn't struggle as bad.
No, you know what did annoy me though with the dialogue, and this is what I thought you meant by proximity, is it does that thing where you're in the middle of a conversation and you arrive somewhere and it just cuts off half the conversation.
Well, that's what Liz said.
Oh, did she? Okay, sorry, Liz, yeah. I missed that. Yeah, I
was more saying like it would start a new conversation over the old conversation if you found something.
Yeah, it would just like cut you off. I was like, well, no, I just made a decision. I wanted to hear that conversation that was going to pan out from my decision. But I did like that too, and I think you were talking about it, Andrew, is like as you walked around and you did things, you'd have these interactive decisions and you could skip them and there'd be no harm in doing it, but it was just a way to make passing the time of walking from one place to another or exploring like just something more to do with the gameplay without being like a, hey, let's just throw a bunch of tiny little things at you so you're constantly doing something. It just, it felt cohesive more than anything.
Yeah, which I mean like – I think it's realistic. I mean, you guys are a team of five, and it's like naturally, if you guys are walking through woods or whatever, like you guys are naturally just going to talk. When you're with a large group of friends, you're not going to have a lot of silent moments. So it felt very kind of realistic. And yeah, I agree, Keith. I actually didn't think about that. There's very few moments in this game where it's just silence. At some point, someone is always saying something or complaining about something or making some sort of observation.
But I feel like they kept it true to character, too, because it's like Gamora wasn't running her mouth all the time. You know, when she chimed in, you like all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, Gamora.
Oh, I forgot she's on
she's
the team.
She's stealthy. But for instance, like Rocket's always like complaining about something. So he's talking a lot. But and same with Groot is kind of silent, too.
Yeah, I think I think Drax is just the funniest, though, just because it's the dry sense of and non-humor because he's so
literal. He's very literal
He's so literal about everything. It's just always funny to me.
He gives me the most joy, I think, with his lines and his laugh like makes me so happy.
I guess with Groot too, because I don't want to say Groot's not is an easy voice to do, but it's largely just one thing. But like Drax's, it sounds I think a lot like Dave Bautista. It may be recognizably not him, but it's very close.
Yeah, the voice acting I thought was very similar to the actors in the movies, but they're very quite their own character, which is great. But I want to go into another. I kind of want to go into a little bit more into the combat here. So the combat for me, I enjoyed. I thought it was very simple, but by the end, the simplicity of it kind of got a little stale. But I loved, once again, it's still the dialogue carries within the combat. And I think it's a ton of fun. But I will say that was part of the elements of some of the dialogue that kind of got annoying. Some moments there was like everyone was saying like three of the same lines over and over again. And that got it. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but some of those lines got kind of annoying. But the combat I thought was really simple, but kind of fun.
I think what made it so much fun is it was very fluid because there was no cooldown to your dash. So you could just dash, dash, dash. And I think it seemed like there was like almost like a counter. Like if you did it like three times in a row, like it would change that he'd like do a flip on the third one or whatever. But like just didn't change much other than visuals. But as far as the combat went, I agree. It was largely simple. There was parts I died and I couldn't tell you the number of times I died. It was definitely plenty. But there was no points where...
Really, in combat?
Yeah.
What difficulty you play on?
I think the intended.
Oh, the medium?
Yeah, whatever. I think it was like the second from the highest is like what they consider.
All right.
But yeah, I died, but there was never any point where I was like, oh man, this is so hard. I can't do this. It was just like, I wasn't paying attention to my health or... Oh, whoops, that character can jump on you real quick. And then you learn the next time not to do that. But as far as it all goes, I agree towards the end. I got a little to the point where I was like, okay, cool, another new ability. And I thought it was weird too because you don't go back and play these missions again, I don't think. And
no, but there is a new game plus.
Oh, there is. Okay, because I was like, why do I – like all throughout you would see – that enemies had weaknesses to an element that you didn't have unlocked yet. I was like, well, that's...
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
I was like, that's really kind of annoying. So I guess if you go through New Game Plus and you have it then maybe. But yeah, it was just enough, but I don't know, it was unique. What I really liked was the interaction of the team. how they all had their different special abilities and how you could counter them and all of that. That was, I think, the most fun aspect to it.
I have a question. So as you're unlocking new abilities for the other characters, so to get their abilities, you do left bumper and then you hit, like, for instance, Y for Gamora. If you have multiple for her, like, how does that work?
It, when you hit the Y button to bring up her, it gives you another, like, A, B, X, Y of the four skills that she unlocks.
I just always pounded Y.
I'm like, so you're like a chapter 12 babe, and you've just been doing
one skill this entire time.
I just started using my own character's ability.
Yeah, Liz did not realize how to use
it. I didn't realize how to get into it. I'm sure they told me, but I played on easy, so that's how easy is, that I didn't even know how to use my own abilities, and I only died a couple times. Like, I'm probably less than five times.
I didn't use my abilities very often, just because I kind of forgot about them.
Oh, I did, because of the achievements.
Well, that's a good point. I didn't do that, and it's not like it's very hard. I could easily do it, I'm sure, but yeah, as far as that goes, like... Yeah, I think it was all very beatable with just your standard weapon. And you get these upgrades along the way, and they kind of help, but none of them really do much. I felt like you could go through the game without those too.
What did you guys think of the huddle?
The huddle aspect I thought was cool. It didn't happen too often. For me, not to get too much ahead, but what I loved about the huddle was the music would kick in. This game has a fantastic soundtrack because, you know, I love 80s and 90s kind of music. And this game has a ton of it, and it is just great. And so the huddles, I thought, were just... I never felt like it was like, oh, you're now instantly wiping the entire field of people. Like, you guys are smoking everyone. But it definitely got my blood pumping.
It was noticeable because of the skill cooldown was, like, drastically lower, so you could kind of just mash all your abilities. So in that aspect, you kind of could start to clear the field. But I think as far as the huddle goes, the first couple times I did it, I was like, oh, this is kind of a cool feature. It's just, again, it was something a bit unique. It added a fun twist to the game. By the end of it, I only wanted it because of the boost and the music, but I didn't want to actually do it. Now, there is a setting that you can turn on that – auto wins the huddle, so you don't actually have to. I think it still does the cut to it, but you don't have to take the action, and so you can just do that. So that's kind of cool. You can do that if you don't want to do it, and it really doesn't ruin much of the gameplay for you.
I also sometimes didn't like his responses. Like, I didn't think it was the correct response for the mood or whatever. Because Andrew pointed out that sometimes there would be like words in the background that would kind of hint at which one, but sometimes it'd just be like, I feel like they're both really similar. And so I don't know. I felt like the responses were kind of not great.
So you should just turn the auto win on.
You can turn auto ones?
That's what Keith just said. The auto win.
Yeah, there's a setting that you can turn the huddles to auto win.
Oh, I thought he meant something else. Oh, see, I mean, I like the guessing part where it's like, I mean, you really don't need everyone to get the buff.
I thought it was...
I mean, no, it does help, but like, I mean, if you didn't, it's not like you're going to just lose the game.
Yeah.
So I liked being able to like win or fail at it, but I just didn't think the responses were that great.
I didn't think there were anything special as far as the responses, but I thought it was always pretty easy to pick out the right one. I mean, it was because the words would always float in the background. They were always there. It would sometimes they'd be a little bit faint, or it'd be like just like one word.
But there's usually, one in particular that they looked this like the responses were so similar that I just was like, this is stupid. Yeah. They're like the same.
I did fail one of them though, and I thought it was funny the response because I think it was Gamora. She's just like, okay, that was a weird speech. And then she just like kind of turned and walked away from you.
But yeah, the huddle, I didn't think it was just an okay kind of aspect. But yeah, I agree, Keith. Like a lot of the combat was just, and nothing of about it was like too fantastic or like this is like game changing. But it's just the banter that was constantly going on. I thought it had so much fun with it. It definitely felt like everyone was kind of working as a team. But if you actually looked at the AI, like your teammates fighting,
they didn't do much. They're
kind of crappy.
No, they didn't like, do a whole lot.
They did it, but like at least it had the nice illusion that we were working as a team just because of the banter that was going on.
You know what I kind of wished is I wish the game overwhelmed you a little more. Like not even.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if I hope I don't complain about this in other games when they just send more enemies at you to make it harder. But that's what I wanted. I wanted to like be mowing down like 150 grunts running at me. Instead, it was like almost
there's
like
a good amount of times where it throws a good amount at you.
It does, but there was, and maybe this is because of the way that the AI worked. Even if your team didn't do much fighting, it at least caused a distraction. So it prevented you from kind of being overwhelmed, which is a good thing to a certain degree. But I wanted more of that, especially because you had such free range of motion with your unlimited dash and your like flying ability and like all this stuff. I kind of wanted a little bit more of that, like run for your life. That would have been a little bit of fun.
I mean, it is a very safe game with like, I fell off a couple times during combat and it didn't really affect me. It might have like hurt my health a little bit. I don't know, but it just
does. It hurts your health a little.
Yeah, but it's not a big deal. And it's the same with like your other characters, like Gamora and stuff. They can go down and you have to heal them. But I mean, that's really simple and easy. And so I just felt like it was very forgiving.
Yeah, and every enemy you kill drops health. It's not even like a percentage thing. It's 100% drop rate on health when you kill an enemy. So like you kind of know that you have that. If you can just like string on one more kill, you can work your way back up.
Yeah, I found this game very easy. I think I only died in combat, I think, twice. And I think both times were at a boss. And yeah, I just wasn't paying attention to my health. But yeah, I remember watching Liz play and like she got an achievement for reviving a teammate. And I'm already at like chapter like 10 or 11. And I was like, I haven't got that achievement yet. Like no one's gotten down.
I'm not good at protecting people. Like,
oh, I had teammates go down pretty frequently.
It very rarely happened for me. The only time it would happen was boss fights.
Yeah.
Which the boss fights varied from like pretty interesting to just being bullet sponges. And bullet sponge bosses are just... they're very boring.
Yeah, I was very torn on the bosses. Because they're...
I thought they were good near the beginning and got progressively worse.
Yeah, because the last boss is really just more waves of enemies. It's not even really a boss. And so that was like kind of disappointing. It was just like a boss in the background of a wave fight.
Yep. And I was just like, and that's why at the very end, I was like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
I think I'm done with this. So that's why I thought it was nicely paced.
I also want to bring up that this game has a great save feature. Like, I feel like it's, there's so many games that just suck with saving. And if you have kids or if you're really busy throughout the day, like this is the game to play, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, not only that, the game's also like, you can easily play this in front of kids as well. Yeah, they're shooting, but it's not very violent. And I do think it's hilarious. There's no language. Of course, they substitute like the F word with flark and other words. Various curse words are clearly substituted with sci-fi-ish type alterations, which I think is actually pretty funny. This game's pretty safe for kids around kids.
That's what I'm curious. Do they do that in the comic book? Because I know they do that in the movie.
Yep.
So that's just like a overall Guardians shtick.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, I do like that. And yeah, even there's also, I guess, some suggestive themes. But again, nothing. I mean, use your own discretion, of course, if you're playing it around kids. But nothing was like overly overt. I felt like largely.
It felt very much like, if you were okay with your kid watching a Marvel movie, they're definitely okay watching and or playing this.
Yeah, I think that's a fair look at it.
What did you guys think of, like, it only happened a couple of moments, but did you guys like when you actually took control of the your ship, the Milano?
You know I don't like flying through space.
How much did you struggle, Liz?
Do you know what? I didn't crash and burn it at all. Like, I didn't, like, I have to redo anything. But, so it was all right, but it did make me a little nervous.
I mean, it only happens, like, twice?
I could think of three, maybe four.
So it wasn't, you weren't taking control of it often.
No.
I didn't do terrible, so I didn't hate it.
Well, so here's what's funny is I hate inverted controls, and it threw me off so much that it doesn't default to inverted controls.
I only do inverted in flights.
Well, I do too, but usually I'll even shut it off. There's a lot of times I'll actually even shut it off even for flying, but to not have it default to inverted threw me off so bad. And it actually like took me a time to adjust to that the first time I was flying. So the first time you take control is, I think, my favorite one because they do it as a cutscene. You're trying to escape from like the quarantine zone. And they put Flock of Eagles and Iran.
Yeah.
And it just like it feels so perfect. And it's, I don't know if there's, I feel like there wasn't enough scenes in the game where it had like a gameplay cutscene like that, if that makes sense. Like it's largely scripted,
I agree.
But it's just, but it's gameplay. And yeah, like using the soundtrack in those moments, the soundtrack really only reared up in the huddles mostly. So I do wish it did a little bit more of that, because like that moment was so awesome. And I was a little disappointed that I didn't get as much of that as I wanted.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Like I said, I loved the soundtrack of this game, and they have an amazing soundtrack. Like there's a jukebox whenever you do explore the Milano. There's a jukebox, and yeah, you can see like all the songs that are on the soundtrack. Fantastic soundtrack. And yeah, I don't think they utilize it enough. You do it during the huddles, but honestly, you only get the huddle like once every three fights or something like that. So, and even then you might save it because it's meant to be like, oh, your teammates are down. Let's huddle and, you know, revive everyone. So it's kind of meant to be like an OMG, like got to do the huddle thing. So there's a lot of times I wasn't even using my huddle and it stinks because I love the soundtrack and I wanted more of it.
I completely agree. Everybody raved about it when the movie came out. Like the music is phenomenal and it's phenomenal in this too. And I mean, this is kind of like, you know, music or like sound related, but we were talking earlier and I was talking about Korel, which I think is spelled like K-O-R-E-L.
K-O-R-E-L, yeah.
Yeah. And so, but I was saying it, I immediately was like, wait, Korel like dishware? So now like, as we're, like whenever I think about Korel, like when we're talking, I just keep thinking about like it's spelled like Korel dishware.
Okay. I kept thinking it was like coral.
No, I would not think of everyone, like, maybe like the people I know pronounce it wrong, but everybody I know pronounces it just like in the video game. So, and it's like the shatterproof dinnerware that's, you know, people love to have when they have kids that are like, you know, getting introduced to glassware.
Did you have the same thought, Keith?
Yeah. Same. No, same, but different. I just thought her name was Carell. Like Steve Carell.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I thought it was more like Carell with this Steven Carell. Not Corell.
I don't know.
Never mind.
What were we talking about?
Did you know that each year it's actually only 365 and a quarter days? And that's why we have leap year.
Oh.
I did know that.
So anyway, the music is great. The names sound choice great. I also think is a lot of fun too. Like we said, the voice acting, I don't think anyone did a bad job.
Like, it threw me off at first, like I said at the beginning, where it almost felt monotone, but I felt like as soon as like the action hit, I felt like all the voice actors did great. And I think it was just me just being kind of thrown off by like they looked just like the characters, except for Star-Lord. And kind of Gamora too. But yeah, so for it threw me off, but I think they did a great job.
So yeah, I mean, I think part of it is just Chris Pratt's a great actor. And so you kind of feel spoiled not having him. But and so I didn't want to like the person who did Star-Lord. But ultimately, I did like him by the end of the game. And as I said earlier, I think all of the other characters actually did a good job sounding like they're kind of matching what they were in the movie. But I guess my one question is we ask this question a lot. Could the game have been improved if Jack Black played Star-Lord?
I think he should. I really, yep.
And that'd be great. He sings along to the soundtrack that's going around. Sing Flock of Seagulls, I Ran.
Oh, gosh. Now,
I just feel like the game is missing something.
No. What if you played Drax?
I think you could just put him in for any character and it would be great.
Gamora.
What if he just went Michael Myers on it and he just played all of the voice acting? Or Eddie Murphy.
Like Eddie Murphy. That.
No, he would definitely, I know you're joking, but he would definitely have to be Star-Lord. And I 100% think that that would have been a great pick.
I'm trying to imagine this game Jack Black as Star-Lord, and I actually think it's pretty awesome.
It would just be so ridiculous.
I don't hate that idea, Keith. I think that's pretty great. But what did you guys think of the actual character designs, though? So, like, as we said, we're pretty familiar with them in the movies. What did you think they did in the...
I think they did a great job. They, especially, like, Star-Lord and Gamora, they definitely, I feel like, look the most different. But, I mean, I think that they did a fantastic job with them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I recognize a lot of the costumes as far as, like, a lot of them, I think, are from the comic books and stuff.
Did you read the descriptions of them?
No.
Ah. So this is what I was saying earlier in the game. This game is, if you are a comic fan, like, this is a must play for you, because there's just, this game is littered with Easter eggs and references. And what's fantastic, this game has a huge compendium in it. There's a lot of, you know, little notes you're finding all over the place that are referencing, you know, other universes or things that are going on. And then, yeah, if you look at the costumes, it gives a brief description. So it's like, hey, you got the, maybe the Guardians of the Galaxy movie costume, or the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse costume. And it actually describes it, you know, oh, it's from this comic book series, which was released during this year. And it actually lists the original artists and creators of the outfits, which is really cool. And then, of course, you know, there's a ton of lore for the factions that are in this universe, ton of references to, you know, other superheroes and kind of side subheroes in this game. There's a ton of Easter eggs.
See, awesome. I don't think I found enough of the outfits to see that. Like, I think I maybe had like three or four of each or something, but most of them were just like,
You weren't exploring hard enough, babe.
I know. And I was trying to loot as much. I know.
Yeah.
But I also didn't beat the game either. So
I feel like I got a good chunk of them. And I think I noticed a little bit of that. I definitely didn't go too into it because I don't know a lot of the comic books. So I just kind of glossed over. I was like, none of this really makes sense to me. I think I noticed on the movie one, it had some like kind of like joke making fun of the movie that made me laugh.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
That Star-Lord kept talking about how amazing movies are and stuff like that. Yeah. And he kept referencing this movie that we need to watch. Yeah.
But I mean, those ones were kind of cool because I was like, hey, they're more recognizable now. But no, I thought it was kind of just, it was a neat little aspect in the it was a fun gameplay element of hunting for the outfits and finding them, but also, you know, just fun making them look different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I loved that they did this. They totally, the people who created this game clearly are just a fan of comic books, because yeah, there's a ton, like I said, a ton of Easter eggs. Like eventually you fight a character and they even reference that he normally wears purple shorts, which is meant to be kind of like this little joke Easter egg, which they were actually tempted to put in the game. It's, yeah, if you're just a big comic book fan, you'll have a lot of fun and find this game a lot more humorous. But I will say my biggest complaint, I think Star-Lord's character design was probably my least favorite. So me and Liz obviously played on the next-gen series consoles. Keith, you didn't.
No.
How did your game look? Did you notice anything?
Well, so I actually cloud streamed the entire thing. I never even...
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So then you played on a Series X, essentially. Then.
I guess kind of, yeah. Because that's how I played it. I mean, so I got, I don't know, some of the little overlay things that happen with that sometimes. But it was weird because his facial hair...
Yeah, that's what I was kind of referencing.
You could, like, almost count them. And I think that was the, because in some ways it was really good because it was like, you know, like Pixar, like, oh, cool. They took the attention to like have these individual hairs. But that also, again, I felt like I could count them.
Oh, I just remembered. Now that I'm like looking at like the flashback scenes with the mom, there were some times where her hair was janky. That was not human hair. And same with like the teeth.
Teeth.
The girl's, what's the girl's name? Carl's daughter. Her teeth. Nikki. No, there are very few video games where they get the teeth right. This game did not get the teeth right. They are weird. And especially like with the flashback scenes. But yeah, I felt like they did such a good job with especially like the other four main characters. But the flashback scenes, oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's one costume I unlocked for Star-Lord where you actually played as like his version of like him as a boy. So he had like, you know, the denim jacket and the mullet. And it was just so jarring because the hair would constantly keep shifting like during cutscenes and stuff. Like that's just my only complaint of like graphics of like, it's just the hair, yeah, when he had the mullet did not look great in the mom.
The flashbacks in general, just like the graphics weren't as good.
Yeah. But besides that, I think I love the graphics and I love this game. Did a fantastic job actually exploring a galaxy. You know, you're Guardians of the Galaxy. You're not just limited to like two or three planets. You end up going to a good like 5-6 different planets or so.
Yeah, there's 16 you explore. Chapters, so there's a decent amount. You go back and forth between a couple of the same ships.
Yeah.
But like even those, like there's only like one or two areas that kind of overlap when you're in the same planet or ship that you've been on already. It's still like new areas.
So I loved it. This game took full advantage of the fact that, you know, they're Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, we're in space. We're going to see things. I think the creatures you interact with are kind of rather limited in combat, but yeah, that's not too much of a complaint. I didn't notice too much of like there wasn't a reskin or anything like that. I can say that. But yeah, I loved that the environments were awesome. You go from a rainy planet to an ice planet, you know, to like a planet full of ooze. It's just, I don't know, it was cool. And then like a lot of aliens you interact with had fantastic character designs and great models. But another great thing with this game is this game has fantastic achievements. I probably would recommend this for achievement hunters. So you're looking for gameplay. For main story, it's about 17 hours. For completionist, you're looking at maybe 24 hours. There is a chapter select. So there are a couple achievements where you are collecting majority of collectibles. There's only a couple where you have to collect like all outfits, but there's about 6 outfits for each character. So there's actually not a ton. And as far as like you're finding these notepads or interactable collectibles, you only need to collect 65% of them for that achievement. So overall, the achievements are actually kind of fun. There's a lot that are encouraging you to kill a certain amount of enemies with certain abilities, you know, interact with your teammates in certain ways. So there's not a ton of missable achievements.
And Keith did great.
Yeah.
Andrew, you got 880 and 53 out of 58 achievements. Keith, 720. You got 48 achievements. And we don't need to talk about how I did.
And I got some.
I got some.
I mean,
I didn't finish the game either, though.
Yeah, a lot of chapter-driven ones, and there's 16 chapters. A lot of the chapters, like when you beat it, you get like 2 or 3 achievements.
Yeah, every chapter at least gives you one achievement. But I noticed a majority of the achievements, like this game is kind of like, here's an achievement there, here's an achievement there. But once you get near the end of the game, it's like boom, 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 here's a bunch.
Yeah.
So it really starts to throw it to you. But yeah, as I said, like the gameplay time is like 17 hours. I think I did mine in 16 hours. And I think that's perfect pace for this game. Because like I said, I was enjoying my time with this game. I loved it a bunch. But right at the end, I was like, yeah, I'm good. And there's New Game Plus, so if you want to keep going, you can. But
yeah,
I think I'm good for now.
Yeah, I don't see myself going back and playing probably not any more of it, to be honest, and not for any reason other than I beat the game at this point, and I can't think of a lot to go back except maybe a couple achievements I was close on, but nothing that I'd probably go crazy over.
So getting to our final thoughts here, did you want to go first, Keith?
Yeah.
All right.
So final thoughts. I've actually did not think I was going to like this game. I usually...
Really?
Yeah, usually these types of games just... I know it's a comic book first, but in my mind, it's a movie game. It's a game that was made because the movie was popular. And I just was like, okay, it's going to try to be the movie, but it's not. It's all of the characters, but it's its own story. So the nice thing is that having the reference of seeing the movies, and probably more so if I've read the comic books... All of the characters were very well written, but it's its own standalone story. You don't have to have seen the other Guardians of the Galaxy movies to play the game. So it's just, I really enjoyed it. And it didn't fall flat for me on that aspect. So I actually enjoyed the story. The gameplay, while it wasn't anything earth-shattering, it's fun. It had me enjoying it. It's not overly difficult. I think it's really accessible for just about anyone, including the fact that you have all these difficulty options that you can turn on and off and everything. So I think it's just an all around really good game. The soundtrack, while not utilized nearly as much as I would like to, is incredible. And I just wanted more and more of that. So overall, I think I'd say a 93. Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree in a lot of what you're saying, Keith. I think you make a very good point. Yeah, if you do not know comics or Guardians of the Galaxy, and this is just something completely you have no knowledge of, I do think you could play this game and have no issues. I think the story is so well paced at introducing these characters, explaining what their flaws were, and like the why there's friction between these five members. I think you could play this game and seriously have no issue, even though you have no reference to any of the comic books or movies. So I think the story is so well paced. I loved the banter that was going on. The voice acting's great. Soundtrack's amazing. The combat for me, I wanted more of it. Like, as Keith said, you know, you're finding some of these characters' weaknesses. Like, you can kind of see a thing, but you don't have that element. And it takes a while for it to kind of start rolling as to when you're kind of utilizing characters' weaknesses. The boss fights I thought were good at the beginning, but got a little bit stale near the end. So because of that, like, that just kind of annoyed me a little bit near the end. But I enjoyed my time with Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm with Keith. I was fully surprised how much I enjoyed this game. It's a ton of fun. For me, I think I'm just going to give it an 88, though, because the combat for me was just a little bit stale, but the story kept me going. I thought the story was a lot of fun.
I'm going to give it an 85. There were times where, like I said at the beginning, I just definitely felt like it was like a movie. And same with the way that the characters talked, it very much felt like the movies that I had seen. And so I don't know why I'm doing so many hand gestures while I'm talking.
Oh, I do that too. I don't know why. You're probably just mimicking me.
And so for me, there were times where I was just like, okay, let me do the combat. And the combat, I did think got repetitive. But overall, I really did enjoy it. I got some chuckles. I thought the characters were funny and had depth, and the graphics, the music, the gameplay, and the story, I all enjoyed. So yeah, 85, which I don't know. I thought it seemed low with Keith's 93, but I'm glad that you gave it an 88.
I think this is crazy. This is probably one of the most story-heavy driven game we've done, and Keith gave it the highest review out of all of us.
I know, but like I said, it is like a movie, though. Like, for me, it's like not a game that has like a lot of like, I mean, there are things that you have to read in the game, but there are some games where it's mostly like reading and...
I know, but that's what I mean. This is like opposite world right now.
You know what I was thinking? And I don't know, did you watch the What If series?
Yes.
In a sense, this felt like a playable What If. And like, that's why you had like these interchangeable characters. Like they, because there's, you know, certain times in the What If series that you didn't have the same people playing the same voice acting. So I was like, okay, it's like, it's always what helped me prepare for this in some ways. But
in which, yeah, they kind of make poke fun of the What If series, or like reference to the Watcher. Like this, I don't know if you saw, did you go to the Collector's Emporium?
I did.
I think they find like the Watcher's eye or something like that. They make a reference to it. And when you go into the continuum, you hear like different universes going on.
Oh yeah, I did notice that. I like how they're like referencing all that. But yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe part of my score is just the fact that like, I think is because it caught me by surprise of like how much I actually enjoyed playing it. Like I thought this was going to be I might get through half the game and be like, all right, I've done my time. I'll record with you guys later. But I like wanted to finish this game. So
yeah,
I wanted to do Metacritic cause this is a special Metacritic.
Yes.
Yep. He's back.
Oh but man. It's been a while. Looking at
Series X 84 and 8.6 and Xbox One TBD and 8.1.
All right,
he definitely brought down the score.
We got to guess the score. Okay. So this is Eidos Montreal. Okay. So this is a Canadian company.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Do Quebecians?
Yeah, Montreal is the capital of Quebec, isn't it? I don't know. Sorry, Canada.
I'm not
sure. It's probably not even the right way to apologize to Canada either. sorry, people of Earth.
Quebecians, I mean, they're known for their anger, Keith, so.
I'm guessing he gave it I want to say 2, but I feel like it's either a 0 or 4. He tends to favor those two numbers, but I'm going to say 2.
Okay. I'm going to go buck wild. I'm going to say he gave this game a 5.
I'm 99% sure. I didn't write it down, but I think it's a 0.
Are you serious?
What? Because I didn't write it down because it's always 0.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember. No, it definitely was a 0 because it was like the only negative.
Sorry, I'm not
score.
Saying are you serious to you. It's like, this guy gave it a
0?
No,
so.
Because I'm pretty sure it has a French dialogue too. And
there's something he says French. In this that I'm really wondering about like him as
it's
a person.
It's not an indie dog turd.
So. So it refers to them as the janitors of the galaxy. But for me, he definitely hasn't read the comic or seen the movie because he gets upset about the infant loop of Groot, like his, like, I am Groot, yeah. I am Groot. He gets a, he calls Groot the stupid tree. Listen, you guys know how I feel about Groot. Like, listen, if you don't like Groot, like, you need to look into your heart, okay? And I, okay, but anyways, you also have a talking raccoon who never shuts up. A big, big idiot. The only the very pretty and sexy Gamora pulls out of the game, which, you know, now we know what he's into. He doesn't like nice, beautiful, kind trees. But he's into Gamora. The performance mode is subject to a few jolts, unfortunately, but nothing alarming. What is very alarming, however, is this confusing and crappy combat system straight out of a modern Final Fantasy. It's boring, repetitive, convoluted, and boring. What's boring is you repeating boring. Like, come up with another word, bro. I'm sorry. I'm mad that he was after Groot.
My boy.
I know I'm being rude. But yeah, so I mean, the translation was actually a little, like, weird this time.
Oh, how many times did he say turd? I'm surprised he didn't call them, like, Turdians of the galaxy.
He didn't say turd at all. Turd of
the galaxy is pretty funny.
Well, I know. Honestly, I actually like Turdians of the galaxy.
I mean, oh. But anyway, so some other people who gave it negative scores, because you guys know I like to go for the negative ones. Someone who gave it a 70, a critic. If you have time to go for a very long virtual walk, this might be the game for you.
There's like two walking segments.
No, but I mean, another complaint that was in there was that it felt very linear, like not really more like exploratory. And also people were complaining about, in quotes, long, boring dialogue. And someone wrote cringe. But
oh, some dialogue is a little cringe, but I didn't think the dialogue was boring. At all.
But it definitely did feel very linear, yeah. And I understand where they're coming from with that.
I'm glad it was, though.
There's a lot of games like that. Like Halo, for example. It's very linear. There's ways you can dive off and explore within a level, but it's point A to point B.
I like that it's linear.
Yeah, obviously
this is the first one. This is kind of an experiment, and I think this game is doing very well. I would love if a sequel was open world, but I'm glad this is.
I will agree. Yeah, if they're gonna, like, if they introduce like factions, open world, you could you could travel to where you wanted to go. That would be tons of fun for sure. But I very much liked how they did this game.
I mean, right now I'm currently playing, you know, like Elden Ring, still playing Apex. Like, to me, this is so refreshing to have a 17-hour linear game where you just go and do the story. I loved it. I would not fault this.
But I feel like these are like genuine complaints opposed to just like Groot hating. I think that's the new name for it. What was our name for him?
What do you mean?
I don't remember.
We had a name for him?
The fourth and silent co-host.
I don't think we ever landed on something.
I think we should maybe switch it to Groot hater.
I think someone suggested the sour baguette.
Oh, I like that. Okay. Sour baguette.
Nice.
But anyway, I think we're gonna wrap it up here.
We've got it.
So thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you for the people who continue giving us reviews on Apple iTunes and Spotify. Greatly appreciate it. It's really helping us. And thank you too. Make sure you follow us on our Twitter at GPGPPod. We've had a ton of listener requests, which is a fantastic problem to have. So thank you all so much who are writing in and suggesting games for us. We suck at picking games. We love when, you know, people kind of dictate what we're playing. And because of that, we've been doing polls on our Twitter of, you know, we're taking all the different requests that we're getting and putting a poll and having you guys pick which one we should play next. Eventually, we'll get to them all. But
so thank you for voting as well, because yeah, that really helps.
So, yeah, make sure you follow us on our Twitter and put your vote in. Have us play.
And if you really want us to do a certain game, have your friends vote too.
Yeah. But we're also on Facebook at GBGB. Where we also post a lot of our pictures and reviews of the games that we've played. And, you know, if we have an upcoming game that you've played, please tell us your thoughts on it. We'll read it on the podcast. But I've been your hardcore humorist, Andrew. You can find me on Xbox Live at Firebird0952. Oh, and we also have an email. I guess we'll probably push that, which is at gamepassgrabbag@gmail.com. So please write us an email. We'd love to hear from you guys. Thank you all so much. Keith.
Yeah, we've talked so much. That's it for me. Goodbye.
I am Keith.
I am Keith. I am Keith.
And I'm Liz Noob Daybreak.
Oh man, I messed Liz up.
And I am Liz Noob Gamer Tag coming up Dean. I'm on Twitter.
Liz is just so tilted from someone hating Groot.
She torched.
She's just like,
Andrew, do it for me.
Hi, I'm Liz the Noob. Gamer Tag, come on, I'm Dean, and I'm at Twitter at Liz the Noob. Noob is EW.
I sound great. I would marry me too.
Alright, everyone. Thank you all so much for joining us. We love you all. We'll see you again next week.
Bye guys.